Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Team.
And here we go.
All right, and away we go. Hour number two, the home team, presented by Golden Pantry. Eat, drink, and be sure to be golden as well. Chris and Jeff with you here.
Chris got me some hot chocolate after the run today, and yes, after loitering in the beer cave.
You had hot chocolate after a run?
Did I say hot chocolate? I meant chocolate milk.
Okay, all right, good idea there.
I'm like Kramer with the marathon when he gives the, was it Jean Paul? He gives him the hot coffee there. No, I'm not.
When you say you had some hot chocolate today
after
a run.
You know, it takes me like a week. Emily and I started dating right after baseball season ended in 2015. And I told her, I go, listen, I'm going to probably seem weird, but I'm just telling you, when the season's over, it takes me about a week before I get
your rods and cones are all out of whack.
Into a different mode. Because it's like there's always a game, and now
there's nothing.
There's not.
You don't have to get ready for a game.
I do get to see you every day.
That's good. Yep. Although we were just looking at the schedule with you getting married next month, and I've got my annual summer vacation July. We're not gonna see much of each other next month. So.
Definitely in July. Yeah, we're gonna be gone a lot.
But once August rolls around, that's big time business here.
We went for a walk this morning and saw Coach Don, and he was ducking out of Butts Mare and introduced him to Emily, and he said, next year, I goes, you still got time to back out. I go, yeah, Coach, it's one of those deals. Like, she's verbally committed, but it ain't the first Wednesday in February yet.
That's right.
Hadn't signed the dotted line quite
yet. That's what we're hoping with Jalen Humphreys, who committed to Florida yesterday.
That's right. Need to sign on that dotted line with the Bulldogs.
He hadn't done that, although now we got that early period, don't forget.
So
you got to, if December rolls around and he doesn't sign, although what are the chances I don't know. I smell a decommitment with him. Maybe it's just wishful thinking.
I do too. Well, hopefully C.J. Clark's a good defensive lineman from up in North Carolina. He's supposed to announce at the end of next week, hopefully he'll say, George, I feel good about us getting Trayvon Walker. I don't think the Humphreys thing is dead. We got Bill Norton from Tennessee. And Justin Aboygi from in-state's a defensive end. And then I think we're going to be right in there with the Florida schools for Derek Hunter. There's no doubt. When you look at the Florida kids we got this year, and I know a couple of them are from the Miami area, but still, beating Florida is huge. I mean, just giving Georgia more of an end in the state of Florida.
Yeah, I mean, that was before, I guess, Mullen really got his feet set there.
Right.
Now that he has, he gets this big commitment yesterday. But I don't know. We need to show Humphreys some tape of Todd Grantham's defenses.
Yeah.
So is this what you want to play with? Especially, how about our two defensive linemen from that or defensive tackles from that 2012 SEC championship game? Here's what he wants you to do. He wants you to sprint onto the field and then try and block, or not block, try and
Barrett Jones.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
This is what he's going to want you to do. But he'll make a visit. Since he's one for one committing after official visits, we'll see if his next official visit, if he's still committed to Florida, then maybe I'll believe it.
And he was a heavy Georgia lean, so it might just be one of those deals when he starts a visit process. Hey, I remember reading a story about a young man, I think his name was Cedric Irvin. It was Michael Irvin's nephew, and he wound up playing at Michigan State. I think he played running back. He was a good player. But anyway, so he visited five schools. He committed to every school he visited.
Yeah. Well, that's not a bad play. Keep them guessing.
Oh, yeah, I've covered here.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, well,
plus, none of the fans can get on you then, right?
Right.
No, I committed to you.
How about the guy a few years ago who sent his scholarship papers to both Florida and Miami?
That yeah, I do remember that.
Like, well, you can only pick one.
And then there was Alex Collins, whose mom wouldn't sign his. It's, yeah. You know, it's crazy. It's like, he's already in the NFL now.
Well, the one that got me was when Landon Collins was in the – like, wait, that was just last year.
I mean, he's about to start, like, his third or fourth season with the Giants.
The crazy thing is, though, for a lot of these elite kids – the way the recruiting process goes, if they come in and play right away, then you're already thinking, like, okay, this is going to be a three-year guy. And this is another area just where the game is changed since I was a kid. And I guess for a lot of our younger listeners, you know, in their 20s or younger, this is kind of what they know. But it's now when you get an elite kid coming in, it's like, yes, we got him. But you got to start recruiting that next elite kid, because in 2 years you're assuming this guy is going to be gone. So you're all right. So if we get Chris Brame, 5-star quarterback, and all right, boy, he's going to be a freshman this year. There better be a junior in high school that you're wooing too, because I know Brame's taking the money.
Well,
he's going to the league.
Plus, yeah. I better be starting, or else I'm like Jalen Hurts. I'm the hottest free agent on the market.
Brave saying, he goes, if I ain't starting,
that's right.
I'm departing.
Gary Templeton was my hero. That's one of the great all-time lines. I'm not going to the All-Star game. If I ain't starting, I ain't departing. So, all right, 5 at 5 time brought to you by Duplicating Systems. More than a system, a solution. Jeff, question number one, who is the greatest all-time former Georgia tennis player, Michael Pernfors or John Isner?
Randy Walker, my good buddy from days gone by. How are you giving us this Sophie's Choice? I love them both. I can't answer that. Pernfors did have a cool Ferrari back in the 80s.
While he was here?
No.
Oh, okay.
But he would kind of come back here some once he had turned pro.
Oh, all right.
Which was a good play. I mean, you're Michael Pernfors. You're now an international tennis star, and you're rolling in a red Ferrari in Athens. I mean, I'm just saying. You know,
I wonder how much, like, Isner gets back here. He lives in Dallas now, I believe, because that's where he's training.
He actually is back stateside now, but he'll be back for football season. I know he'll come to a couple of games. And in fact, there was once a bunch of guys wanted him to jump on a bus to go over to South Carolina. He's like, got to go to Chile to play in the Davis Cup.
Yeah.
A lot of those Davis Cup ties are in the fall, and you know John is very patriotic, but I'm sure there's a part of him that's like, yeah, look, man, it's kind of cutting into my football.
Well, and they do, like, when you know some, you know, when the countries that are hosting the Davis Cup, they can send you to wherever, because I know there was like a weird rift between the U.S. and God, I don't remember what country it was, but they made, like, let's say it was France, but France made the U.S. go to some, you know, complete, like, impossible to get to location.
So, time out. So, it'd be like if the U.S. was having it, we'd say, like, okay, you got to go play in.
Well, how about Boise, Idaho? Because that's where the U.S. then had their Davis Cup tie was out in Boise. And it's like, why is it in Boise? And the reason was because the U.S. had to go to some where it was like you flew somewhere and then you had to ride like 10 hours someplace else. And it was just
awful.
Yeah. So then we made whatever. Again, I don't remember the exact country. But then so we decided, okay, good luck getting to Boise, Idaho, which I don't think is actually that difficult. But
well, I was going to say, that'd be like if you wanted to look at college places, like, all right, you got to go play in Pullman, Washington. So you got to fly to New York or Atlanta, then to Chicago, then to Boise, then you got to jump on a bus and go to Pullman, Washington.
Right. But so that's what, yeah, anyway, that's where those Davis Cup ties will take you. But, well, John's got to get ready for grass court season now, because Wimbledon, I guess, is in like 3 weeks.
Boy, it is a quick turnaround, though. Now, there is an extra week.
They've stretched it out by a week.
I do
but
like that.
It is. I think it's, yeah, it's 3 weeks because the French Open ends this weekend. So, it'll be 3 weeks from basically Monday, I guess.
That is one of the unique deals in sports with the different surfaces. I mean, it's a pretty long clay court season because there's so long between Australia and Paris. And then, boom, you go right to grass. And when that's over, boom, you go right into that. And that's a pretty long hard court season because that's not a – that's a pretty healthy gap between Wimbledon and the U.S. Open. Like, Paris to London's really short.
Yeah, which is why it's been, you know, impressive, anyone who's been able to pull the double dip there
in the
past. When you only had the 2 weeks, too. All right, so all right, you refuse to answer that question. I'll remember
that.
Do
you know how much I love both of those guys?
I'll remember that. So is that the first? That might be the first 5 at 5 question that goes unanswered.
You pulled a Beckham or Kappinger on me one time. Well, I can't answer that.
All right, let's move. We'll do some college football now. And how about this? Will be a non-Georgia edition of this. Okay. But I want a player in the country who's going to be the toughest for his school, now former school, to replace this fall. The non-Georgia edition.
Well, gosh, Clemson got their whole defensive line back. I got to say Baker Mayfield.
They didn't lose anyone. Mayfield?
Yeah.
Well, is it because Kyler Murray's got that $4 million in the bank now, or he's going to?
He still says he's going to play, but I mean.
But I think he can.
He can do both.
Yeah, because he's got to come to an agreement with the A's by the middle of next month.
That's correct.
So he's going to. There's a chance like he'll actually make more money than his head coach will.
Yes. That'd be kind of
and cool. I'm going to say there's not a chance. There's no way he's not going to sign with the A's. He was the ninth pick of the draft.
Hello, ladies. I'm making $4 million, and I'm starting at QB.
What if my answer was Saquon Barkley.
Barkley's a great call. Josh Rosen at UCLA, because you know Chip Kelly's thinking, my goodness, if I had this guy for a year.
The reason I didn't really.
But they weren't that good anyway.
And also, I mean, they're going to be doing a whole different offense anyway.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think USC's going to miss Darnold all that much, to be honest with you.
No.
So I think you're right. And again, non-Georgia, I think Barkley for a back, Mayfield for a quarterback.
What about Lamar Jackson?
Oh, good call. I'm still kind of old school college football traditional powers. I don't think about Louisville enough, and I probably should. But I mean, yeah, that's a school like Louisville doesn't just. Re-up.
Well, that's what I wonder with Penn State. Like, McSorley's still there, but they lost Gesicki, that tight end. They lost their number one receiver. And the thing with Barkley is they gave him a lot of targets, too, plus he returned kicks that, you know, he was like this utility guy that I don't know that McSorley can just carry the load now by himself without Barkley. For me, Oklahoma, like, I think Murray's going to be – I mean, Mayfield won the Heisman Trophy, was the number one pick in the draft, but – Lincoln Riley's a heck of an offensive mind. I just feel like Oklahoma's still going to be really good on offense.
A couple other guys, and again, they'll still have good backs. But I'm saying for LSU, you know, they had Fournette and Geis together for 2 years, and then Geis last year. I don't think they have a back of that caliber. Again, I'm sure they'll have a good one there. On defense, and again, it's not a traditional power, but. Not too many Bradley Chubbs running around Raleigh, North Carolina.
Or even how many guys did they have taken in the first?
Was it 7 draft picks they had?
Yeah. Which does make you wonder, like, should Tennessee have hired that guy, Dave Doran?
Maybe. And they've got a good quarterback back. I saw him a first rounder in a mock draft.
Because the thing about those guys were, it's not like Chubb was coming out of high school with some premier recruit.
No.
In fact, I mean, he was from Georgia and wasn't even on – the radar, and then he ends up top 5 pick, right? Or no, I guess he dropped a little bit. But
I think he was a 5th.
He did end up 5?
No, let's see. DBs, you had Derwin James out of FSU. The Browns took. That was a bad – Ohio State will be fine. With Denzel Ward.
Yeah, but that's the thing to, like, take whatever NC State's recruiting classes were and then end up with 7 guys drafted. Yeah. I mean, there's some, like, maybe talent development there that he has to – you give him credit for, and I don't know, maybe Tennessee. I mean, Tennessee had him on the hook and then started to ignore him. Like, that was the guy, apparently, they were about to hire, and then who was it that all of a sudden drifted in there that
– Was it Leach that came in next?
Maybe it was Leach. Because this was all after they had apparently, you know, had hired Schiano. And then there was the revolt.
Yeah.
It might have been like, so then they were going to get Doran, and then all of a sudden they went, well, maybe we'd rather have Leach. And then they stopped returning Dave Doran's calls. And now I'm thinking, maybe they should have hired that guy.
It really is amazing how, whether it's recruiting or coaching searches and all, how similar it is to high school and college dating.
Oh, yeah.
You got the bigger, better offer.
Yeah. Then you move on. But, hey.
Well, let me put you on hold.
Well, they might regret passing on Doran. And they probably do now that they ended up with Pruitt and are going to end up at some point with Fulmer again.
Here I come to save the day.
All right, moving on to the 5-5. What as we move into the summer now and we start looking at teams and trying to predict the future with these teams, what will be the toughest team to figure out in terms of, you know, how good they're going to be this year?
I think we're talking college football here, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. I think Georgia, everybody kind of feels that, listen, the Bulldogs were great last season. They're going to be great in 2019 and 2020, and the way Kirby's recruiting, Georgia's here to stay. It'll be interesting to see if Georgia is just a contender in the East this season, or is Georgia in the whole picture. So I think the Bulldogs are an interesting team. I think the two California schools, yet you're replacing the quarterbacks, but UCLA is getting energized here with Chip Kelly. So I think that's one. What about year two at Texas with Tom Herman? This is a big year, I think, for Michigan with Shea Patterson coming on and Jim Harbaugh. Again, he's done a good job there, but with how he's been and with the expectations there, bottom line is they're 1-5 against the Buckeyes and the Spartans. So, again, have they been disappointing? Last year they were a bad breakaway from possibly being in the playoffs, and they lost all their starters. So I think that's another one. So I guess for me, Michigan and Texas are two. Yeah, that's two of the great programs of all time that you really keep an eye on this year.
Because of the year two factor, I'm just kind of assuming Texas is going to be good.
I think so too.
And I just think Michigan is too. It's, you know, we've gotten to this. Some people have with, you know, kind of like clowning and needling Harbaugh with the fact.
I mean, it's not like they're going 6-6. No.
Yeah, I mean, they haven't finished any higher than third in their own division. In their division is Ohio State, Penn State, and Michigan State.
Right.
I mean, that's as loaded a division as any in college football. In fact, it's the most loaded division in college football now. And they were a play away from being in the playoff 2 years ago. They were a bad spot away from being in the playoff 2 years ago.
They were.
So I'm kind of just thinking, like, I mean, they're going to bounce back.
I think so, too.
But for me, and this is probably going to be the case for as long as he's the head coach there, but LSU is going to be impossible to figure out. Because you look at him, like, Ed Orgeron's not a good head coach, but at the same time, they've got players. And if they're going to be one of those teams that can lose at home to Troy, but at the same time turn around and then beat Auburn at home, and Auburn was a great team last year, I mean, how do you make sense of that? And so, what are they going to be every year? Are they going to be any good, or are they going to be bad? Or are they just going to be in the middle? Now they're bringing in this Joe Burrow as a transfer. So I kind of feel like their schedule's tough, and I don't like their head coach, that I just think they're going to be bad. But, you know, then, like, I've got the devil on my other shoulder that's telling me, Abraham, it is LSU, though. Are they just going to bottom out and be terrible?
You know, I mean, did last year kind of say it all? And listen, Troy's really good, so no knock on them. They can beat Auburn, but they can lose to Troy.
Yeah.
So, listen, they might lose a game in September where you say, oh, my gosh, LSU's a train wreck. But believe me, it ain't going to be easy for the Dogs down in Baton Rouge. I mean, don't think Georgia's going to go into Baton Rouge just because Coach O is there and do what the Dogs did to Tennessee and Vandy on the road last year.
Like, I mean, Florida went 4-8 last year. I mean, LSU could go 4-8 with Orgeron, right? I mean, if Florida could go 4-8, then LSU could go 4-8.
Yes.
And they've only got – they've got three SEC home games, plus they play Miami in Dallas, right? It's either in Dallas or Houston. I think that game's in Dallas. So they got Miami on a neutral field. And then, I mean, two of their home games they do have are against us and Alabama.
Yeah.
Which aren't gimmies.
No.
Like, they're not even – I don't even know if I – they're coin flips. I agree with you. It's not going to be easy for Georgia, but I'd say we definitely are better than a 50-50 proposition of going there and winning.
I like Georgia's chances.
Yeah. I mean, we should be better at quarterback and head coach, and those are two pretty key areas.
I would agree. I mean, they're an interesting team to keep. I feel like they're in a spot right now, and maybe sometimes you're just in a position where you feel circumstance have put you where you can't get that right guy or that coach who you feel like's a special guy. Like, Georgia's got a special guy in Kirby Smart. The way he was groomed, he played here, he went to school here. This is where he wants to be. His dream is to turn Georgia into the number one program in the country. There's not always a guy like that out there. In fact, they're very rare. And that's why Georgia really had to be careful when you're going to part ways with a guy like Mark Richt, who did all he could do here, who did all the great things he did here. that you're getting somebody special. And Georgia got somebody special because they're not a ton of Urban Meyers and Nick Sabans out there. But in general, when you're a big-time school and you get a guy, and kind of from the day he's hired, the talk is, all right, who's our next guy going to be? It's going to be a tough couple of years.
Yeah. And like LSU doesn't have that.
And listen, Florida was like that when Ron Zook got hired. They were immediately saying, all right, who's our guy going to be after him?
Yeah. But like we've talked about LSU's history with head coaches before. It's a weird school because, I mean, they don't really have a legendary head coach.
No, they don't. I mean, you know, Charlie McClendon was there for a while. Paul Dietzel. Obviously, Saban was only there 5 years. There's not that Vince Dooley, Bear Bryant, Johnny Vaught, Steve Spurrier there.
Yeah. Man, they've run through
mm-hmm.
a few in their time.
Well, they've had – I think I figured out at some point that I think they've had 7 different coaches win SEC titles there. I mean, it's at least 5.
So their attitude just might be like, it's no big deal. But I got it is a big deal now because the coach that they have right now will not win an SEC title. Or unless he does. I can't figure them out. Because they are going to have good players. But then again, Florida went 4-8. They've got good players, too, because they're Florida.
And LSU's going to have good players.
Yeah, they're going to have good players, too. But, I mean, last year they lost at home to Troy.
Well, the thing, too, like we say, so much of it is it's when you catch people. And, obviously, there was a lot going on at Florida. Because what the day after the game in Jacksonville is the day they dismissed him, right?
Yeah, because the week of was when he was making
up
that he was getting death threats but didn't contact any authorities about it.
And his wife was saying those ugly uniforms were to support the troops, which
right.
was just a lie.
Which they weren't. They were basically to sell merchandise
right.
to their
so that
fans.
That was just a bunch of lies. But at the same time, too, even if you're not expected to do well, Chris, it's like you've said with a lot of pro teams that are picked to finish last, they're still, hey, man, we're pros. We can win here. Schools like Florida and LSU say, oh, no, we can contend. Our goal is to be in the SEC championship game. And listen, Georgia, unfortunately, has been in this boat. In 2010, I thought we had a chance to be pretty good. Next thing you know, we're 1-4 coming out of the gate. So it's like, oh, my God, how do you respond to that? So certainly you could see for Florida when they were sitting there, you know, it's like, oh, all right, you know, we've been in Atlanta the last 2 years. We're going to have a great year. Then all of a sudden you lose 3 times and then a 4th time. You're not going to get that same effort and fire in the middle of November if you've got 4 or 5 losses that you're going to get in, say, mid-September when you're 2-0 and you still got a chance to do something.
No, of course not. Because it's just a short season, so I mean, you lose a couple games in any other sport, and you can certainly recover from it. But
right, but
once it happens in football, your season's over. And if you're in the Pac-12 and finish 5-7, you can't even go to a bowl game. I don't get what they're doing there. You're just like calling attention to something that's not even a problem, really.
No, it's not.
Finally, Jeff, wrapping up the 5-5 Game 3 NBA Finals tonight, which we'll have right here on 960, the ref. Tip-off just after 9 o'clock,
oh.
So pry your eyelids open. But what do you think? Cleveland got a shot. They're coming back home. Down 2-0, though. Or do we just stick with our original assessment was this series was probably going to be a sweep and at most be a 5-game series. And do we just stick with that? Or
Cleveland's got a shot. Do you know the number?
It's gone down to 4.
Golden
it opened
State
at 5.
Four.
It opened at 5, and now it's been. I guess the sharps are hammering the Cavs. The sharps like the Delaware governor who put $10 on the Phillies yesterday, and he got them a winner.
There you go.
He's not going to be invited back to that casino.
It's either Golden State close or Cavs big. I think Cleveland wins one of these. So is Golden State favored by 4?
Yeah. Like, road favorites in the NBA playoffs have been pretty profitable.
I've still got to go with it. I think Golden State's going to win by, like, 6 or 7.
Okay. Because my thought on this series was if Cleveland won a game, it was going to be the 4th game down 3-0, but only because Golden State wants to go back and clinch in Oakland.
Yes. Well, the thing, too, is just I think we'll know early, too, just LeBron – the energy level, does he believe, not that they can win a game, does he believe they can win this series? At some point, if he doesn't, is it still going to be there, that dig deep?
Right. I mean, is he going to want to grind out like 48 minutes and put the effort in that he's
been
putting
in? And in all honesty, they lost any chance of winning that series in game one unless something crazy happens.
Yeah, I mean, they can't win four out of five.
Come on. No.
All right, there's the 5 at 5 brought to you by Duplicating Systems. More than a system, a solution, where we learned today that Michael Pernfors and John Isner are the greatest tennis player in Georgia history.
Yes. Wait, Al Parker's online, too.
Oh, there he is. All right, we'll take a break, come back, some more college football on the agenda. It's the home team presented by Golden Pantry Food Stores on 960 The Ref.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.